But first, our Drive debate tonight. Should people be able to choose to end their own life? The law on assisted suicide has been debated by MPs this afternoon. Some think the rules should allow people to request the right to die and get the help to do so. Earlier in the programme, we heard from Wynne Crewe from Hunts Cross in Liverpool. Her husband, Reg, was terminally ill with motor neurone disease, and he was the first British person to travel to a clinic in Switzerland to end his own life. If you missed it, this is what she had to say.
He couldn't stand what was happening to him. He really had no quality of life left, do you know what I mean? Almost immediately, when he knew he had motor neurone, he lost the use of his hands and his arms, so he couldn't feed himself and do a lot of basic things. And then he lost the use of his legs, and he couldn't stand or walk or anything. And towards the end, he couldn't hold his head up. He was, you know, it was affecting his throat and everything. So he'd seen a programme on television with a French lady going to Switzerland, and he said, if they won't help me here, that's where I'm going. And he was determined that that's what he was going to do. He you know, believed, like we do, that the law was wrong, that he should have had the choice. He had a terminal illness, and he should have had the choice in his own country.
Let's talk about this a bit more now. And Joe Cartwright is from Dignity in Dying, and Dr. Peter Saunders from the charity Care Not Killing. Thanks very much for both of you for joining me this evening. Joe Cartwright first. Why does the law need changing?
Well, exactly for the reasons that Wynne outlined, really. There are some people who are suffering unbearably at the end of their lives in this country and want the choice of an assisted death, and some of those people choose to travel abroad to die or attempt to end their own lives at home with help from loved ones. So what we would like to see is a safeguarded law which permits people who are terminally ill and mentally competent to ask for this help to die and have a full safeguarded process for that to happen.
But the Director of Public Prosecutions has already issued some guidance, hasn't he, to say that anyone who helps a loved one and they've got good motives probably won't be prosecuted?
He has provided guidelines to set out how he decides whether to prosecute and when to prosecute. So the debate in Parliament today is asking MPs whether they agree with these guidelines and whether they endorse the guidelines, which effectively say that if you're compassionately assisting someone to die, you don't really know what you're doing, and you're doing it out of compassionate motives, you won't be prosecuted.
But how do you determine that, though?
Determine what, sorry?
How do you determine whether the motives are true? You know, isn't it open to abuse?
Well, this is exactly the problem with the law as it stands at the moment, because it's much harder to find out what somebody wanted and somebody's intentions when they've already died. So what we would like to see is a law with upfront safeguards where all of those options can be discussed, where any reasons why people want to choose an assisted death are discussed, and any outstanding issues that can be supported can be help so that that person actually wants to live rather than die. And if, after all of that, they're terminally ill, mentally competent, and they feel that they're suffering unbearably, then they are allowed to die, and all of that's been addressed before they die.
But how do you put safeguards in place, though? Because, you know, you'll always get people who maybe think that they're a burden on their family and think it's the right thing to do to agree to end their own life.
Well, under the current law, if people feel like that, then they're still travelling abroad to die or attempting to end their lives at home without having this conversation with healthcare professionals and with involving any external body. So a law would shine a light on this process, and it would also allow people to have those conversations out in the open. And I would say that Oregon in the United States have legalised assisted dying quite safely, and it is possible to do, and I think that a safeguarded law would better protect people than the current situation does.
Do you think the will is there from the MPs and the people who make the laws?
I hope so. We'll see later on today what their view is. We know that the majority of the public would like to see a change in the law. 80% of the population would like to see assisted dying to be legalised, and that's been consistent for many years. So Parliament are taking time to catch up, but I'm hoping that today will show that they are finally catching up.
OK, thanks very much for that. Dr. Peter Saunders, who's from the charity Care Not Killing. As Joe said there, 80-odd percent of people are in support of a change in the law. So what do you think?
Well, I think you've got to take opinion polls with something of a grain of salt, because it depends very much how you ask the question, and it depends in what kind of context and with what knowledge the people have of the background issues answering it, as what the answer will be. And when you actually look at expert opinion on this issue and those who've got a particularly strong vested interest in this, you know, who are the groups opposed? Well, first of all, we've got the disability rights lobby in Britain. So the five major disability rights groups, SCOPE, NSIL, the UK DPC, RADAR, Not Dead Yet, all strongly opposed to a change in the law because they believe that a change would lead to pressure being placed on vulnerable people and particularly on them. Mm. Secondly, the medical profession, the British Medical Association, Royal College of Physicians, Royal College of GPs, who've debated this exhaustively. And of course, there are some doctors who support a change in the law.
Yeah, I mean, and depending on which report you read, though, up to half of the GPs support it.
It's very consistent. With GPs, you're looking at about 65%. With those who are closest to the patient who are dying, geriatricians, but particularly palliative care doctors who look after dying patients, it's 95% opposed. So, and I think that those people are aware of the sort of things that can ease suffering. And I think what's driving a lot of this debate is a very real and genuine fear that a lot of people have about death and the whole dying process, particularly if they've observed bad deaths, you know. And I speak as a doctor myself who's had to manage many, many dying patients. And you might be surprised at this, but it's only a very, very small, almost minute percentage of those. We're talking, you know, 3% of dying patients who even want to discuss this, let alone who would go for it. And the average palliative care doctor will tell you that in a lifetime of 20,000 patients, he could count on the fingers of one hand those who have a persistent ongoing request. And, of course, it's those who do the deed and go the whole way, like Wyn Crew's husband, that get a huge international platform. But actually, when you look at the numbers, we've got 15 to 20 people going to Dignitas a year in this country.
But why should they have to, though? I mean, if there aren't that many people who are thinking of doing this and would do this, why should the minority that do have to go somewhere else? Why can't they do it in this country?
Because if you change the law, those numbers creep up. And Joe's already mentioned Oregon. I have a lot of anxieties about Oregon, which I could talk about, but we don't really know what is going on there. But we do know from an extensive House of Lords report that if we had an Oregon-type law in Britain, we'd have 1,200 deaths a year. If we had a Dutch-type law in Britain, which allows euthanasia as well, we'd have 13,000 deaths a year. We've got 15 to 20. And the overwhelming vast majority of people, even with diseases like motor neurone disease, multiple sclerosis, severe disabilities, cancer and so on, they do not want to end their lives. They want help to live comfortably. And a good doctor will always ask the question, you know, why is it that you want your life to end, and then do everything he or she can to relieve the symptoms that are prompting that request. And sometimes they're not physical symptoms. In fact, in Oregon, you find that pain is not really a feature pretty much at all. It tends to be, you know, loss of dignity, loss of meaning and purpose in life, feeling a burden, this kind of thing.
But when you've got the, so just to move it on, because we're running short on time, when you've got the situation we have in this country at the moment where the Director of Public Prosecutions is advising that people shouldn't be prosecuted, that makes the law a little bit irrelevant, doesn't it?
Not at all. I think, I mean, some people see this as a great British fudge, but the way it actually works is that Parliament makes the law, and whatever the crime is, the Crown Prosecution Service, headed by the DPP, makes the decision about prosecution. And it's a fundamental principle of British law that you have a blanket prohibition on whatever there is, and then you give discretion both to the DPP and also to judges to what we call temper justice with mercy in hard cases. So what that means is the law, in effect, has a stern face with the penalties that it holds in reserve, which act as a very strong deterrent to exploitation and abuse. But on the other hand, it has a very kind heart, so that it is able to show compassion, which is why we see, first of all, the numbers are very, very low going to Dignitas because of the stern face. It's an effective deterrent. But also, we see very few prosecutions because there's a lot of mercy and compassion shown and understanding of these difficult situations where people feel driven and determined and desperate.
Okay.
You know,
I think
it's the right balance.
Thank you very much for talking to us about it. Appreciate your time. That's Dr. Peter Saunders, who is from Care Not Killing. Quite clear that he's happy with the law the way it stands at the moment. And before that, it was Joe Cartwright from Dignity in Dying, who is supportive of a change in the law to allow people to help their loved ones to die if they're terminally ill without fear of prosecution. Been getting your calls in already on this morning and this evening, and would love to hear from you. 01517099333. Sean in Birkenhead says, I believe it's the religious aspect, what the church call the glorious gift of life, is what has stopped this being a right for years. Well, he says, I'm not religious, and I think that being stuck in your body when all you want to do is feel free, then that must be a living hell. So give people the choice, let people choose how to live their life, even if that means ending it. And we've had a call as well from John in Little Sutton, says, I agree with your earlier caller. I don't think people realise the pain of losing a loved one until it happens. You might think it's a good idea to help end their suffering, but imagine how you'll feel afterwards when they've gone, but you're left with, all you're left with is that last memory. That's an interesting point as well, John. But funnily enough, in a bit I spoke to Wyn Crewe, a bit that we didn't record, she said that, I mean, it was 9 years ago, and I asked, you know, whether she not regrets it. And she's, her lasting memory, is she went to Switzerland with Reg, and he took a drink. She sat with him for 20 minutes and he said, I'm going to sleep now, and drifted off going to sleep. And she's had no problem with that final memory at all. In fact, she prefers that final memory to the memory of him being incapacitated in his body. Really are two sides to this story, and it'd be great to hear your points of view. 01517099333 is the number. You can text 81333, put the word Mersey at the start of your message, or you can email lee.benyon@bbc.co.uk. You're listening to Drive Time. It's 5:30.
Drive Time. Lee Benyon.
BBC Radio Merseyside.